T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
My name is Gary Parrish. I'm talking to you from 54th and Broadway, Midtown Manhattan, New York City. Brad Carson back in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions.
My daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And details of the American Athletic Conference's new media rights deal have been made public. The Tigers, the University of Memphis, going to get a lot more money per year from its media rights deal, maybe going to be on traditional television significantly less often. I'll explain momentarily, but first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, he is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. He's the nation's leading authority. Hobo's Heroes Street Corner Clowns. He knows Sam Sausagehead personally. Keith Easton, we're going to be here in about 20 minutes. I'll ask him what's up, and then he'll just take it wherever he wants to take it. That's the way that segment works. Keith Easterwood around 420. Finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point we're going to discuss four. Previously undiscussed stories, among them, 46% of brackets at CBSSports.com have Duke winning the national title. So people are all in on Zion and his Blue Devil teammates. We'll get into that around 444. I didn't discuss my bracket yesterday because I was on TV and not hosting this radio show. So I'll give you my final four a little later on this hour. I'll walk you through some of the bigger developments of the bracket. We'll do that during four notable stories, 444. I've got two significant upsets in the round of 64. Got two power conference teams from Kansas losing to lower seeded teams. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And St. Joseph's fired Phil Martelli earlier today. So that's the end of an era in Philadelphia. Surprising way for this one to go down. I'll tell you about it during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then around 5:30, you know, the NCAA tournament gets started tonight. And there's a big game between Temple and Belmont. Belmont, our friends from the state of Tennessee, who are looking for their first NCAA tournament victory in school history. I got a funny story to tell you about Belmont's best player. We'll do that around 5:30, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with breaking news with in the past couple of hours with the American Athletic Conference's new media rights deal being explained via Street & Smith's Sports Business Daily. I'll just read you parts of the story from Michael Smith and John Irwin, and then we'll discuss it after that. But it's a lot of numbers, so I want to make sure I've got it exactly right. Here's the way the story starts. The American Athletic Conference will get $1 billion for its media rights from ESPN over 12 years, according to sources. The average is $83.3 million per year, and it's about four times what the AAC was making in its previous rights agreement with the network, which paid the league just over $20 million annually. The new agreement begins in the 2020-21 season and runs through the 2020-21 academic year and runs through the 2031-32 academic year. The annual per school average, and this is important for the University of Memphis, of $6.94 million, so basically $7 million per year, provides each AAC school with nearly $5 million more in annual revenue. So what that means is what Memphis has been getting from its media rights deal is about $2 million a year. Now, like Big Ten schools, SEC schools are like $40 million, $45 million, $50 million. The gap between the haves and have-nots has been growing significantly in recent years in college athletics. And there was no way the American Athletic Conference was ever going to close that gap significantly, but they did close that gap somewhat. Instead of getting a $2 million check for your media rights annually, the University of Memphis and everybody else in the AAC will get a $7 million check. It's about $5 million more than what they've been getting. Sports Business Journal reported in December that the AAC was considering a grant of rights deal, but they did not sign a grant of rights with this deal. No need to get into the details of that, but that's a good thing for the University of Memphis, because when you sign over your grant of rights, it basically gives your media rights to the conference as opposed to yourself. Avoiding that, I do think, was a smart thing to do. It is it's good that the university and the league in general was able to avoid that. The story continues this way. The comprehensive deal provides ESPN with rights to all of the American Athletic Conference's live programming, except for a small package of basketball games on CBS and some Navy football games on CBS Sports Network. The new contract also calls for some Saturday football games to be broadcast on ABC. Football, along with men's and women's basketball, will remain on ESPN, ESPN, and ESPNU, but the majority of basketball games and a significant number of football games will go to ESPN Plus. Other live sports, including baseball, softball, and soccer, also will air on ESPN Plus. Renewal talks with CBS have not yet begun. So that seems to be, there are two big headlines connected to this from Memphis's perspective. One is just the increase in annual revenue. It's roughly $7 million as opposed to roughly $2 million, an increase of about $5 million. That is money that Memphis and all AAC schools need, athletic departments need desperately, so that's a good thing. The other headline is this sentence right here. The majority of basketball games and a significant number of the football games will go to ESPN+. Now, majority is a vague word, but it does mean more than not. And so what this new media rights deal could do is increase revenue for the University of Memphis, but also take the University of Memphis off of traditional television, which is honestly not a big deal for millennials and younger generations. Like, my children are growing up without television. They do not they rarely actually turn on a TV that's on a wall. And if they do, it's to watch something they're streaming through Apple TV. My 16-year-old watches everything on his phone. He has a giant flat-screen TV on his wall in his room, and I really don't think it's been turned on in a year. Not once. I'm not exaggerating. I will walk in his room, and he's lying on his bed watching a movie on his phone. He could watch it on his TV. He just would rather watch it on his phone, and I think that is the way we're heading as a society. We will watch things on tablets, on phones. Traditional television isn't dying, but it's less necessary than it used to be. But for a generation or the generations that grew up without all of these devices we have now, without streaming, this can be jarring, because there's a certain segment of Tiger basketball fans who, I promise you, if you told them the Memphis game starts in 2 hours on ESPN Plus, they got no shot. They can't get there. They don't know what ESPN Plus is. That the same thing as watch ESPN? Is that on my TV? Do I have that channel? What is Apple TV? It can become complicated. And so this is something that is going to have to be worked through, because I think Memphis season ticket holders are largely older. It's certainly what your eyeballs tell you. And older people, and I'm not speaking as a young person, I'm an also older person, but older people tend to struggle a bit more with the way in which a younger generation is consuming media and sports these days. And not to mention ESPN Plus is a subscription based service. You do not get it just because you have ESPN on your television. You do not get it like it's ESPN2 or ESPN News or ESPNU. You have to pay for it separately at the rate of, I believe, $4.99 a month. Now, I am already a subscriber because It has college basketball games on it that I want to watch, sometimes Southern Conference stuff that I want to see, whether it's Wofford or East Tennessee State. That stuff is on ESPN+. Plus, a lot of their NBA draft stuff is behind the paywall that you have access to if you have ESPN+. So this is not a big deal to me. You know, in all of the rooms in which I watch television at my home, we have Apple TV hooked up to the televisions in addition to DirecTV. And so if something is streaming, I really just grab the Apple remote as opposed to my DirecTV remote and click, 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 and I'm watching it the same way I would watch anything that came on ABC, CBS, NBC, or any other traditional network television station. But not everybody lives like that. And so it will be an adjustment. And I assure you, the first time that Memphis's game is available only on ESPN+, because this is the way this will go down. It doesn't matter how often I talk about it or Tom Bowen talks about it or Penny Hardaway talks about it between now and when this media rights deal goes into effect. It will be the day of a game that is on ESPN+, and you'll have Memphis fans out there not understanding how to find the game, not understanding why they can't watch the game, shocked and surprised that, what, I have to pay $4.99 to get this on my television? But it really is the way of the future. I don't know if it's the best thing for the present, but we will get to a day where streaming things through your TV or on your phone or on your iPad or any other way we might do it will be very, very normal. We will have a day where big sporting events are on Netflix and Amazon Prime. And now we're already at a day where Memphis sporting events are going to be on ESPN+. So I guess if I would bottom line it, good day for the American Athletic Conference, good day for the University of Memphis, because the increased revenue had to be the priority. You know, it is so difficult for schools like these schools to make ends meet relative to how simple it can be for the Ohio States and Tennessees of the world, that getting as much money as possible had to be the priority, and they are getting about $5 million more per academic year than they've been getting from their media rights deal. That's a win. But I think you'd have to be a little disingenuous if you tried to act like taking a lot of, or we'll see, but presumably a significant number of your games, particularly Tiger basketball games, and putting them on ESPN+, you'd have to be lying a little bit to suggest that that's not something that comes with a cost, because you've got an older fan base, and older fan bases are less likely to want to subscribe to something new and less likely to even know how to get to it if they wanted to get to it. And so I'll talk this over with Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on it. But the breaking news from Sports Business Daily earlier today, the AAC and ESPN have reached a new media rights deal. It's 12 years worth $1 billion, average of $83 million for the league per year, which comes out to about $7 million per year per school, $5 million more than Memphis has been getting. Keith Easterwood's up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the you expect when it got a cape?
420. I always forget to change my computer time to Central Time Zone when I'm sitting here in New York. It's 420. Gary Parrish Show. We're here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I got a question from Donnie on Twitter. He says, could the reasoning be that, you know, this AAC deal is largely an ESPN Plus deal as opposed to an ESPN-ESPN2 deal? He said, could the reasoning be that the conference is trying to encourage higher attendance across the board by making it more difficult to watch? live, or is did ESPN give no choice to the AAC for that amount of money? I think it's probably the latter. I don't think you would try to make things difficult to watch on television so that you could increase attendance at live sporting events. Simply put, ESPN, because of cord cutting, has lost incredible amounts of revenue. And one way to try to get revenue back is to create this thing, ESPN Plus, that is subscription-based at $4.99 per month. And the way to get more people to subscribe to it is to have compelling programming on it. And now you're going to have Memphis fans having to subscribe, Connecticut fans having to subscribe, Temple fans having to subscribe, Wichita State fans having to subscribe. I just think it's strictly a business decision. They're trying to build ESPN Plus into a moneymaker, and putting compelling live programming on it is the best way to do it. Talk more about that with Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock, but right now he is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. He is the nation's leading authority in Hobos, Heroes, Street Corner Clowns. He knows Sam Sausage Head. It's Keith Easterwood making the big interview.
The Big Interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
Hey, Brad.
Yep.
Die, Brad, die.
Local basketball expert, talking Hobos, Heroes, and Street Corner Clowns on 92.9's Gary Parish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
Man, I have missed you, man. How you doing?
I've missed myself. I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there, but I'm just barely hanging in there at this point. I ain't been home in a while. I ain't not worked in a while. I know this might come as a surprise to some people, but I am actually tired of hearing myself talk. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, I am either talking on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, this radio station, or a podcast. I'm sick of myself.
Your ass don't mind talking. So where are you up at in New York?
I'm running out of things to say.
So and where are you putting up at in New York? Where are you staying at?
Yeah, everything's
well,
nice.
Boo-hoo. Everything's... Tomorrow morning, everybody got to get up at 7 o'clock and take their ass to work, and you'll sleep in a nice hotel. You're going to order room service. You're going to do what you do, get you a Starbucks, and go talk. So nobody feels sorry for your ass.
You sound like my wife. you said, I think Kelly made these exact points to me over the weekend when her and Aiden were up here with me. No, listen, my life's good, but these days are long, and I am sleepy.
I'm with you. I'm with Keith on this one, GP.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't discount the fact that I am right now talking to you
blessed,
while overlooking.
You're very blessed. Yes.
I'm overlooking Midtown Manhattan, staring down at Broadway and 54th right now. It's a beautiful view. I wish you guys could enjoy it.
And
but,
Keith, he doesn't even have to deal with the kids. Like,
so you got UPS guys and FedEx guys driving vans, and you got police officers and firemen there. Listen, like, and so. Sometimes it comes across the wrong way, bro. I'm just being honest with you.
What? Me saying that I would like to work less than 17 hours a day and maybe see my kids every once in a while?
You bitching about being a five-star hotel in New York.
I'm not bitching. You asked me how I'm doing. I told you.
GP, I love you, man. I'm going to get to other stuff. me and my wife went to a show at Mandalay Bay in Vegas. Mandalay
right.
Bay is like, woo, it's
oh,
off
man.
The chain. And so thank you, Brad. And so we go. She said, "Let's go to the Cosmo." I said, "Okay." The damn Cosmo! Oh my God! Mm. Next time we go, I gotta save up. I gotta do what I gotta do. The Cosmo, and you and I texted. I won't share that. But the Cosmo is like you friggin' went to heaven. I mean, the chandeliers, the people. There are women in there. I don't know where the hell they came from. I'm like, holy Jesus. And that's what you say in July, and they pay for you to stay at the damn Cosmo. And then you come on like, oh, man, I've been in Vegas. Oh, I've been in Vegas. I'm having to stay at the Cosmo. The Cosmo, it's like staying in heaven.
It really is like staying in heaven. It's my favorite hotel because
– No like, kidding.
We went there last month or month before. Kelly and I just went for like three nights. I guess it was in January. And
yeah, right.
We would leave if we were going to a show that wasn't at the Cosmo, we would leave. But outside of that,
I never wanted to leave the hotel. I was like,
why would you?
Why? That's what I said. Why? What do you want that is not here? Amazing breakfast options, amazing lunch options, amazing dinner options, the most beautiful people in the world. Like, the most beautiful person you've ever seen in your life will walk by you
everywhere.
Every 5 minutes.
Everywhere.
Those are hookers. Those are hookers.
No, they're not. No, Brad. There's some beautiful women there that ain't hookers. Okay, I took my wife. She ain't no hooker. Shut
no,
up.
I wasn't talking about her. She's beautiful.
The hookers in Vegas, because I've been here so long, Gary knows this, from midnight to 6 a.m., they can kind of do what they want.
Yeah.
But when you're out just normally in a daytime setting, all them beautiful women ain't hookers, man. Y'all need to get off of that stuff.
No, if you want, I'll tell you where the hookers are. There's a bar right by the main elevators to one of the towers at the Cosmo. And these women, they start settling in at that bar, right around midnight, because
they're not Airway Roads hookers either. Okay,
these are baddies, and they're sitting there at that bar because what they know is that some drunk guy with a lot of money. Like, there's going to be some drunk guy with a room there who just won a lot of money, and that's going to be how they make their money tonight.
Okay.
I can't tell you how often I've seen people, they're going back to their room, and then they just stop to have a drink, and next thing you know, they're talking, and next thing you know, boom, off with the hooker. Like, if you go there just wanting to watch people do that, you can watch it one after another after another after another.
Right. I mean, because I don't sleep at night, so when I go downstairs, and I've been blessed to win some money, and, you know, and I'm old, you know, and then I got sildenafil and my friend and all that, and then it throws me off. I'm being real with you. I mean, so why would a little girl come on to me? She just wants some cheese. But I'm like, nah, I ain't rolling like that. So anyway, why we got into that, I don't know, but I got onto you, and thank God. So I hope you appreciate what you got going on in your life and your family and everything. We got Johnny Foosball, who I think is a joke and not going to work out. We got the Tigers in the NIT. And this is the thing that bothers me, because I've been talking to a lot of college coaches. All these mid-majors are firing guys. I mean, what are you expecting? I mean, what do they expect? And the good thing, and I hope it happens, I hope when Duke plays, they lose. But because of Zion, I'm intrigued, and I hope they play all the way to the championship game, because I go out of the way to adjust my schedule and watch that. So this is really a really good time, intriguing time, getting ready for the NBA playoffs. And it's your radio show, and where you want to go from that, I don't know.
Oh, I want to get your thoughts on Johnny Manziel, because I know you're a nation's leading authority in Hobo's Hero Street Corner Clowns, and it's possible Johnny could fall somewhere under that umbrella. He is obviously still to this day one of the most famous football players in our country. He just is.
Right.
And his professional career has not gone as planned or as any of us who enjoyed watching him at Texas A&M would have hoped. You said you don't think it'll work out. I think that's probably the right answer to the question, will this work out? Why do you think it won't work out?
Well, has somebody who has been a troubled soul, when he's a troubled soul, you know, so I recognize that, and I feel for him, but to go from being the number one guy, Cleveland Browns, it didn't work. I don't know the whole – I mean, he's got a badass girlfriend, but and then he plays, you know, obviously in Canada, and that didn't go really well from a numbers standpoint. And then the AFC picks him up, the AAF, whatever the hell that is, they pick him up. I just can't see him and Mike's, and just from watching Mike Singletary from afar, from the player that he was, the hard-nosed guy, to, you know, the San Francisco 49ers to now. Nobody else picked Mike Singletary up, so there's a reason for that. I think they picked him up for a couple of reasons. It's drawn a lot of attention for the Memphis franchise and for the league. The whole thing comes down to this. Can he go on the field and perform? And I think everybody's kind of anointing him a little bit too quick. That team, I mean, if you watch it, that, you know, I'm glad they got a TV deal, and I've watched a little bit of it. It's not really good football, and attendance and television ratings have dropped. But so we'll see. But it is, for a week or two, it's intriguing. Now, if he comes in, they win the next two games, it escalates. But I just think maybe it was a PR move, perhaps more than the football move.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt it's a PR move. It's great for the league, and it's great for Memphis because it is something interesting. Because, like I said, even if he's not good, and he might just not be good, but even if he's not good, he's good for business. Like,
right.
You know, if he is playing on television, there will be an audience for it. He still resonates in that way. But what would be the major red flag for me, you know, in addition to all the obvious red flags, is that he wasn't designated to Memphis initially. The
right.
San Antonio franchise
could
have had him if they wanted him, and they passed.
Right.
And so what do they have to know about Johnny Manziel in this current form to say, no, we don't want him in our Alliance of American Football franchise? I mean, to me, when you combine the fact that he got banned from the Canadian Football League, not released by a team, but banned from a league, when you combine that with the fact that San Antonio simply did not want him, that to me tells a pretty convincing story that, and I hope this isn't true, but, you know, he's been very public about his addiction. And,
right.
And, you know, that kind of thing doesn't go away. You can curb it for a while, but if you are an addict, you are always at risk of slipping up.
Every day.
And he has slipped up before. And I can't think of many things that would get you banned from an entire football league other than you violate some sort of substance policy.
Yeah.
And you know, I know on one hand you'd say, but this is his last shot and he has to realize that. But when you struggle with these things to the extent that all the Cleveland Browns want you to do is, like, not go party in Las Vegas, but you can't not go party in Las Vegas. You sneak out there, wear a disguise.
Put a wig on.
When you show up to work drunk, which is he reportedly did in Cleveland, like, you could, like, I like to enjoy a drink, but I don't, like, show up at CBS drunk or, like, show up on radio intoxicated.
Right.
You know,
I would never do that.
and the other thing is, like,
encourage it with you, Keith.
He was on his last chance in the NFL, and it didn't stop him from you know, getting out of line. He was on his last chance in the Canadian Football League, and it didn't stop him from getting out of line. I don't know why your last chance in the Alliance of American Football would be the thing that scares you straight. I hope it is. Because I just on a human level, I don't like to see somebody who has been who became famous at a young age and who has incredible natural gifts. I don't want to see them ever fall victim to the types of things that so many people fall victim to. So I'm rooting like crazy for him, but I do think it's the only reasonable opinion I have is be very skeptical.
Yeah. So two things. I hope he's successful and hope things go good. I hope there's never a video, because these damn phones, of him doing something on Beale Street he shouldn't be doing. And then, as we close, I'm worried about my friend Will Wade here.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot now. I mean, simply put, and I'll let you expand on it, but there's just about a 0% chance he ever coaches at LSU again. And I would put it less than 50% that he ever coaches at the Division I level again. Now, forever's a long time. He's only 36, so maybe in 15 years somebody says, this guy deserves a second chance, or we're willing to give him a second chance, but his career's in a bad place right now.
Yeah, well one thing, and I have corresponded with him and some friends of his, that you know, and he'll be my friend no matter what the ultimate decision is made, because I've watched him from UTC to VCU to LSU, and he's been very kind to me, so I have nothing negative to say other than those comments that he made are not unlike comments that have been made to me from other college coaches. He's been subpoenaed in April. But take away all that, take away did he buy, did he pay, and look, you and I know these things are going on. These top 15 guys, I mean, Zion's daddy got an Adidas deal. This guy got that. They got that. So, again, I blame people, and maybe even Will, and I don't want to say it, you know, whatever, but, you know, you're stupid if you don't do it in a way you can't get caught. But from going to practices and being around him and talking basketball with him, whether you buy, don't buy, whatever, you're coaching donkeys or thoroughbreds, he can coach his ass off. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I know he's lawyered up. He's got a really good lawyer. Bruce Pearl still hadn't talked to Auburn. It was funny or weird to me that after the rendition of his tapes came out and people read it, that Gottfried, assistants started quitting, things started happening. You know, Miller gives his speech, which was really weird, I thought, at Arizona. So there's more hammers about to fall. I would just say this about him. I hope whatever happens for him, whatever show calls or whatever he gets, that he would be allowed at some point to coach again. He's made over $7 million in the last 4 years. Smart guy. You've been around and you talk to him. Very intelligent, you know. And if you're like me and you're like you go to – like Josh's first practice, and I'm not – and God knows. Now here we go with him and Ron, whatever that idiot's name is. Like I went to Josh's first practice, and my practices were better. And I was like, holy Jesus, this is not good. You go to Will's practices. It was right there with Patino. Cal was different because Cal ran everything. Practice was about Cal, but Huggins. Then going back to Denny Crum. I mean, I've been blessed just to been around so many really, really good college basketball coaches and some NBA guys. Lawrence Thunderbird, who's with the Clippers now. I just hope whatever happens, and I don't know. And you probably know better than me because you talk to more people than me. That whatever, when all the hammer falls, he's getting $200,000 a month right now by drawing it out, that at some point he's allowed to coach again because he's done. Whatever. If you think his LSU team and some guys got cash or whatever the hell they got, competed against other teams that didn't get the same things and more, he still coached his ass off and that team still had a really good year.
I think you make an important point by saying he'd still be my friend no matter what, because I've known Will for – more than 10 years. You know, when I first met him, he was a graduate assistant at Clemson under Oliver Purnell, and Shaka Smart was also on that staff. And that's how Will ended up going with Shaka to VCU, how Will ends up as the VCU coach. You know, it all starts back at Clemson. And so I've known him for a long time, liked him for a long time. And, you know, I hope these things, I hope he understands this. I don't think he's a bad human being because he broke NCAA rules. It doesn't make me think anything differently about him as a man or a husband or a father or whatever. But when you are caught on wiretap saying the stuff that he said, you're going to pay a price for that. And if the question is he the only guy doing it? No, not even close. But he is the only guy on a wiretap discussing it, and it's just going to be difficult to overcome. Think about it in these terms. You know, there might be, let's just say there's five men, and all five are cheating on their wives, but only one of them got caught on video doing it. Well, that's the one that's going to have the tough questions to answer. The other four might get away with it. It doesn't make it right or wrong, but when there is undeniable evidence, and I do think those wiretaps are – there's no way to interpret them any way than what they appear to be. And when the NCAA starts digging on that, and they already are, you know, they'll find what they'll find. And, you know, and LSU, I believe, will ultimately fire him for cause.
I got caught on tape, and you suspended me for 30 days.
Well, you got caught on tape doing what? Hey, next time you want to go to Vegas, you hit me up first. I'll try to get you a rate at the Cosmopolitan.
Hey, you big money you got, you can pay.
Shit.
Just call Cosmo. Said I got Easterwood for 3 days.
I
missed. We woke up. We went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, fly out Saturday. Flight at Saturday was like 6:30 because I got it cheap. I woke up at 5:30. I called downstairs and said, hey, we going to be here another night. I called Southwest and rebooked, and we went back to sleep.
Yeah, no. If you're gonna take the first flight out of Vegas, you better just stay up for it.
Well, it's what we meant to do, but we got caught on Fremont, and then we got caught on Fremont. B-Rad, you okay?
I'm good, brother. I wish I was in Vegas. That's a good place.
No, man, it's good, man. Vegas is cool. We already talking about going back and Vegas, you know, and people are like, why do you go to Vegas? Well, number one, I like to gamble. Number two, she wins. And number three, there's a lot of freaks, and there's a lot of alcohol.
you like the freaks and the booze.
Yeah, I do like that. I mean, where in America do you go and there's women walking down the street and all they're wearing is paint? I mean, you're like, what's the front door?
Yeah.
So now you're like, what in the front door is going on with that? You know, so it's cool. I wasn't trying to do nothing I shouldn't have been doing because I'm married and I love my wife. But at the same time, I go down at 6 o'clock in the morning to go play blackjack, and there's a guy sleeping in front of an elevator on the 10th floor. I mean, so it's just a different – for a guy who grew up like I grew up, admittedly poor, projects, whatever, and then you get to a point in life, you're like, okay, I want to travel, you know? And so all of a sudden you go to Vegas, you're like, the first time we went to Vegas, man, we must have been the Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, we were like, whoa. And so – yeah, no, I'm being real. And so now we've been 7 times. I mean, pray to God, health is good. I go back again. And but it's cool. So I would recommend if you want to go, I mean, you don't got to go and gamble. You don't got to go drink. You don't got to go buy sex. You don't got to do nothing. I would just recommend you go see the fountains at the Bellagio, see the things, the volcano, ride a ride, do what you do. There's food. I mean, GP can tell you. I can't imagine what the food's like at the Cosmopolitan.
It's one of the best. That's the thing, people. Like,
entertainment.
People who have never been think that you go to Vegas to gamble.
No.
And you obviously can.
Right.
But even if you do not gamble at all, Vegas is amazing.
Yep.
And it's one of the great food cities in the world because
no question,
it has incredible – all these massive bazillion-dollar resorts – have incredible restaurants, and that's that's true, not just at the Cosmo, but really all over Las Vegas. And so, if you don't like to do anything other than be in a nice hotel, have amazing meals, and see incredible shows, like Vegas is perfect for you. In fact, when Kelly and I went back in January, I did not gamble a single dollar outside of when I was sitting in the sports book watching couple of college basketball games, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, and I would sit there and just play video poker while I was watching the games. Outside of that, I didn't gamble at all and had a blast.
I had a steak at Jack Benny's I would have married, okay? So, no, it's good. So no, it's really and again, people are like, oh, you go to Vegas. Yeah, okay, well, you do what you do. I do what I do. Doobie-doobie-doo. I'm 59 years old, and I'm going to keep rolling until next week. Where will you be next week, Jerry?
Right here in New York, I think.
Yep.
We'll do it live.
Okay, I'll talk to you then, brother.
Love you, man. Thank you, Jerry.
I love you. Bye-bye.
That's Keith
Easterwood. He's my local basketball. He's your local basketball expert. He's here every Tuesday with me, 92.9 FM ESPN. When we come back, we're going to talk nothing but college basketball. 46% of the brackets at CBSSports.com have the Duke Blue Devils winning the national championship. I, too, have Duke winning the national championship, but if you want to know why they might not – I'll give you the stat on it right after this.
Hey, it's Jeff Cox.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick.
Jeff Cox is your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphis. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We will get back into the new AAC media deal. Details announced today. 12 years, $1 billion. Memphis going to get about $5 million more per year from its media rights deal. That's the good. The possibly bad is that the majority of basketball games for the league, not necessarily for Memphis, but for the league, are going to be on ESPN Plus. That's a subscription-based streaming service, so it is reasonable to assume that fewer Memphis basketball games will be on traditional television. We'll get into that with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon.
So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So the NCAA tournament starts tonight officially, and everybody is filling out their brackets. And 46%, nearly half, of the brackets at CBSSports.com right now have Duke winning the national championship. It should not be a surprise that more people have Duke winning than any other team. Duke is the betting favorite and the overall number one seed, biggest brand in the sport, led by the best coach and the best player. But 46% is still a pretty significant number. It's unusual for one team to get that percentage of the championship votes from brackets posted at ESPN.com or CBSSports.com. And, you know, my bracket is one of those. I have Duke winning the national championship. But if you're looking for a reason why Duke might not, the most obvious would be like an injury to Zion Williamson. But another thing that I've actually been talking about for a while, writing about for a while, but I said it on CBS Sports HQ earlier today, and the clip got cut by whoever does that stuff and tweeted and then retweeted, and so now it's getting a lot of attention. But the truth is Duke is a terrible three-point shooting team.
Yep.
Terrible. Not just like, they're not that good at it. I mean, terrible.
No. Yeah.
They shoot 30.2% from three-point range. That ranks 338th. In the country. 338 in the country. There are only 353 teams at the Division I level. Duke is the best team in the country, but one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the entire country. And if you're looking for a reason to not pick Duke, don't do it because you think Michigan State's better, because Michigan State's not better. Don't do it because you think UCF and Taco Fall are going to catch them in the round of 32. Because that is an unlikely scenario. Don't do it because Virginia Tech's getting Justin Robinson, its point guard, back, because that won't be the thing that makes Virginia Tech better than Duke. If you're going to pick against Duke, do it for this reason. Literally no team in the history of college basketball has ever won a national championship shooting below 31% from three-point range.
Wow.
It's never happened. I'll take it a step further.
Yeah.
No team shooting this poorly from three-point range has ever made the Final Four.
Wow.
Ever. And the reason is because, you know, if you just shoot your average, is still terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you have a bad shooting game relative to your average?
Right.
In other words, what Duke is going to do is like 6 of 20 from three-point range. But what that's what the average is. But what if instead of 6 of 20, it's 4 of 26 in a single elimination game. That can be difficult to overcome. It is a testament to Duke's talent and just the way they can overwhelm you physically and athletically that they are at full strength, just a one-loss team as of today, shooting the ball the way they shoot the ball, because that is not a normal thing. When you are that bad from the perimeter, you are not supposed to be this good at basketball. And so if you were looking for a reason they might get caught early or anywhere, I promise you, if it happens, and it could happen in theory, I don't think in the opening game, but any game after that, if it happens, I promise you, you will be able to point to that three-point shooting and it will be something below 30%. If they shoot their average, I think they can win a national championship just shooting 30% from three-point range. But if they have one of those games where it's 6 of 28 or 4 of 29, they put one of those on against a team that is capable of playing close to even with them in most other areas, that'll be the way Duke loses before the Final Four. That'll be the way Duke doesn't win a national championship, if Duke doesn't win a national championship.
Story number two.
So I didn't get to talk about my bracket yesterday because Jeffrey Wright hosted the show. I was doing television live on CBS Sports Network, and we talked about the Tigers and we talked about Johnny Manziel. But my bracket is posted at CBSSports.com, and I've got Duke, Gonzaga. I've got Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and North Carolina in the Final Four. And what's interesting is I didn't realize this while I was doing it. Mm-hmm. But my Elite Eight games, every one of them, is number one seed versus number two seed.
Oh, you went chalk.
And clearly the history of the tournament suggests it probably won't go that way. Mm-hmm. But the reason I have it like that is because the ones and the twos have not only been playing well lately, they have been the best teams in college basketball pretty much this entire season. And to underline that point, if you go back to February 1st and you look at the AP poll, that's a long time ago from now. You know what the AP poll is?
What?
Number one, Tennessee. Number two, Duke. Number three, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Number four, Gonzaga. Number five, Michigan. Number six, Michigan State. Number seven, Kentucky. Number eight, Nevada. Number nine, North Carolina. In other words, the eight teams that got either a number one seed or a number two seed in this NCAA tournament were ranked in the top nine of the AP poll 7 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They established themselves as the best teams in this country early on, for the most part, and remained that way every step of the way. Like, Duke took some losses when Zion was hurt, and Tennessee took back-to-back road losses, and Michigan went through a little bad spot. Mm-hmm. And Michigan State lost Nick Ward and, lost a game to Indiana. But by and large, these teams have been the best teams in the country all year long. And so I don't normally think that there's going to be nothing but ones and twos in the Final Four,
because
normally that's not the way it is. But I don't think there's anything but ones and twos in the Final Four. I'll be surprised if anything lower than a two seed actually makes it to Minneapolis.
I need to check your bracket, but did you have any upsets in, like, the Sweet 16 at least?
I've got
upsets. Do you have, like, a Wofford or anybody like that?
I've got upsets in the round of 64. Let me just walk you through the Final Four one last time.
Yeah.
So I've actually got Duke and Carolina playing for the national championship.
Okay.
They'd be playing for the fourth time this season. For the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament. That's one of these facts that is surprising. That you would think two blue blood programs that are always in the NCAA tournament would have met at some point. Mm-hmm. Duke and North Carolina have never played in the NCAA tournament, but I do think they got a shot to do it this season. It would have to be in the championship game. Mm-hmm. That's the way my bracket looks, and I've got Duke beating North Carolina. Zion Williamson adding to his trophy case. He's already ACC Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, ACC Tournament Player of the Year. I think he'll be Final Four Most Outstanding Player, and then a national champion, number one pick, 2019 NBA Draft.
Yeah.
Story number three.
So I do have two upsets in the round of 64 that I think are at least possible. Otherwise, I wouldn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're filling out a bracket, it becomes difficult. I've explained this before. For somebody like me who covers this sport every day of the year, to pick an inferior team to beat a superior team, because why would you do that?
Right.
Like, I've watched these teams all season. I know them inside and out. Why would I think this clearly inferior team could beat this clearly superior team? Then the tournament starts, and it just happens on Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. It's just that's what makes the tournament so beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's hard to anticipate those things if you follow it as closely as people who get paid to follow it. It won't happen. Same thing, like, if the weatherman says there's a 90% chance of rain, I'm going to grab an umbrella.
Right.
If he says there's an 80% chance that we won't have rain, I'm going to assume that I don't need that umbrella. And projecting basketball games is very similar. Like, if there's data available that says this game is supposed to go this way, I'm going to assume it's probably going to go that way. But still, you got to pick some upset somewhere in the bracket.
Sure.
So one of the things I do is I try to find teams who have earned seeds that no longer correlate with the roster in place.
Okay.
In other words, Kansas State. Mm-hmm. They earned a 4 seed by being co-Big 12 champions. They also might be playing in this NCAA tournament without Dean Wade, who is arguably their best player, definitely their best rebounder. Mm-hmm. And they're playing a UC Irvine team that's won 30 games this season, got an incredible coach in Russell Turner, that's on a 16-game winning streak, so all they've been doing lately is winning. And that is a really good offensive rebounding team, because if you're missing Dean Wade, Kansas State's got missing their best rebounder and playing a game against a team that's a very good offensive rebounding team. And so I took UC Irvine to beat Kansas State, a 13-4 in the round of 64. And then I didn't do this intentionally, but I took Kansas State's rival, Kansas, to also lose in the round of 64 for the exact same reasons. Kansas, you know, was ranked number one in the country mm-hmm. when it was healthy. You know, that's the thing that I don't think most people forget, but still some clearly do. When Kansas had Udoka Azubuike and LeGerald Vick, that Kansas team was, you know, ranked number one in the country. And Dedrick Lawson was a real National Player of the Year candidate. But then they lost Udoka Azubuike to a season-ending hand injury, and LeGerald Vick left the team for personal reasons. That's down two starters. You know, it's not surprising, given what I just said, that Kansas's streak of Big 12 regular season championships was snapped. What's surprising is that they still had technically a chance to extend it in the final week of the regular season, given that they lost two starters along the way and never got Silvio D'Souza. But part of the resume they put together to get the four seed that the committee gave them, it involves games that involved Udoka Azubuike and involved LeGerald Vick, neither of whom is available this week. And so I took Northeastern to beat Kansas in the round of 64. And that's a Northeastern team that I saw up close last week at the CAA tournament in Charleston, South Carolina. Basically, it boils down to this. Northeastern shoots about 46% of its field goal attempts from beyond the arc, and they make 39% of them. And so it's like you got a team with a stud senior guard, Vasa Pusica. He's from Serbia, had made 7 3-pointers in the CAA tournament title game. You got a guard who's just terrific, like he could play anywhere in the country. And a team that shoots it that well, if they're going to take a lot of 3-pointers, and again, their average is they take 46% of the shots from beyond the arc, they make 39% of them. Well, let's say that they take 50% of their shots from beyond the arc and make 47% of them. Well, now you got a problem. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Kansas or anybody else. And given that Kansas has just been off since the Doak injury and LeGerald Vick leaving the team, and given that Northeastern is a real threat from beyond the arc, I thought that was a good place to also try to pick an upset. So 13 over 4, I got two of them, Irvine over Kansas State and Northeastern over Kansas.
Story number 4.
And then big news out of Philadelphia today, college basketball related. St. Joseph's fired Phil Martelli. He had been the coach there since 1995. He was the face of that university. And I will tell you, I was surprised by this. And I wondered if I'd just been working, like talking on TV too much to keep in touch with sources. Like maybe I just like missed this. But I was talking to somebody, you know, connected to the Atlantic 10, like who works in that conference office. And that person was like, this came out of nowhere. Nobody thought that they were really going to fire Phil Martelli. Like, how do you fire Phil Martelli? Now, he hasn't been doing a good job lately, and this season was a disaster. They were picked second in the A-10 and just, like, didn't finish anywhere close to second. But I always assume, like, Phil Martelli, a little bit like Jim Boeheim, a little bit like Mike Krzyzewski, like, he just will not get fired. If they decide there's a coaching change that needs to be made, they might tell him, Phil, you're going to do this for one more year, and then we're going to get on with it. So it's just a lot like what Temple just did with Fran Dunphy. And boom, instead, they call him into the office on Monday, yesterday, fire him, and announce it this morning. Phil still has not, unless I missed it in the past hour, commented publicly about this. But I can tell you from talking to sources around that St. Joseph's program and around the Atlantic 10 office, he was not happy with the way this went down. He feels like he's given his life to that university. And for, oh, by the way, a new athletic director who was just hired within the past year.
Oh, no.
To fire him as opposed to let him go out on his own terms, even if he was nudged out on their terms. This is not the way he thought this would end. It's not the way anybody I know thought this would end. So it is a real changing of the guard in Philadelphia. I mean, Martelli goes back to, you know, when I'm in college, he's the coach at St. Joseph's. All these years later, he was still the coach at St. Joseph's, but no more. Fired abruptly yesterday, announced this morning. So that's another Division I job now open, at least for now. Jeff Calkins is up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.